The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go to the fan hotline. We welcome in Mike Lombardi, who joins us right now. Mike, good morning to you. You are the author of Football Done Right and your current general manager of University of North Carolina football. We've had John many times before. We're happy to have you again here, Michael. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Lima, ask Michael the question
Mike, just asked. The question about Dylan Gabriel, his size, comes up often with shorter quarterbacks in the NFL, but yet Baker Mayfield has been unbelievable the last few years in Tampa Bay. He's not a tall guy. We know about Drew Brees. So how big of a deal is size at quarterback in the NFL?
Well, I mean, look, Steve Young was barely 6 foot. He's in the Hall of Fame. And, you know, I think a lot of it is throwing angles. Do they get balls batted down the line? Early in Baker's career, he got a lot of balls batted down, at least 6 a game, and he was able to finally figure out how to slide and move in the pocket to create the launch point to where he's not going to get passes batted down. I mean, when you get a pass batted down, it's a win for the defense. It's not a sack, but it's almost like a sack. So I think a lot of that. Look, Dylan Gabriel, go back and watch his Oregon tape. My son was the quarterback coach at Oregon last year, coached him. And, you know, he barely got a ball batted down. He had great angle to throw the football. He had really good rhythm to understand where he needed to put the ball. And I think in time he's going to become a good player. Will he become a starter? I don't know. You know, we got to wait and see on that. It's hard to start in the National Football League. For quarterbacks, you got to be able to do it week in and week out. But I think this kid's certainly got instincts and he's got anticipation, which is what you need to be an effective quarterback.
But Mike, this setup in general, normally you want to get the best out of quarterbacks and figure out a way to do that. Sometimes it's going to be up to them. But here you have two veterans and you have two rookies, and those rookies taken in the third and fifth round. I don't know how you evaluate those quarterbacks, give them enough reps with your joint practices and preseason games to truly get the best out of them. Can it be done?
You know, you just asked the most important question about football. Football is a mathematical problem, okay? There's that, and no one understands this. There's only so many reps every day at practice. And how you divide those reps is most critical in terms of how you're building your team. Because if you're giving 20 reps a day to a guy who's not going to ever play for you, you're wasting 20 reps. And once you determine what value you have in the player, who do you need to develop? Who don't you need to develop? It's impossible to develop two young quarterbacks at the same time. It's not college. We don't have 400 players on the field like they used to in college, where you could take everybody and move them to a side field and then go over. So to me, it's a very challenge. When you draft a guy in the third and then you come back and pick a guy in the fifth, it becomes very difficult. Look, Al Davis picked a quarterback in the first round from Tennessee State, and in the second round he picked Kenny Stabler. I wrote about it in Football Done Right. Now, how did he do that? Well, they was a different time and period in the NFL, but I think it's really challenging today based on the rules and based on how much time you can be on the practice field. After you're up there 2:45, that horn blows, and if you're not off the field, the Players Association is going to call you up. So it's challenging.
Michael Lombardi joining us on the show, former Browns front office member, former NFL executive, current general manager, North Carolina football. There's one player you recruited I'd like to ask you about coming up here in just a moment here, Michael. But, and of course, the book, Football Done Right, Setting the Record Straight on Coaches, Players, and History of the NFL. So there has been some conversation, not by this show, but there has been some conversation about like starting Dylan Gabriel week one. It sounds like you would feel that that's pretty irresponsible.
Well, I think it would be a challenge. It would be hard to put the kid in a position where he could be successful. Look, the quarterback position, and you're the head coach of the team, you got to be able to stand in front of the team and say, this player gives us the best chance to win the game. And I think that's really hard to do on rookie quarterbacks. You know, now, sometimes you're forced to do it. Pittsburgh was forced to do it when Tommy Maddox got hurt, and all of a sudden Ben Roethlisberger had to go play. So that's a different element. But I think it's really challenging for some rookie to come in and say, look at Caleb Williams. I mean, last year he was talked about as the greatest savior to the franchise. How many games did he win for the Bears? You know, how many mistakes did he make that hurt his team? So I think rookies are, you know, look, Jaden Daniels did a tremendous job for their team, but that's a few and far between. I think it would be unfair to any young quarterback to put him into the fire, especially if you're not going to build your team around, look, we're going to win with defense, we're going to win with kicking game, we're going to run the ball, and we're going to limit the quarterback. That's hard to do in the NFL.
Mike Lombardi with us. The Shedeur Sanders, the specter of him just at training camp, he has said all the right things. There's been no distraction in terms of his dad, film crews, any of that stuff out here. In fact, he's been one of the first guys there, last guys to leave, always putting in the extra work. With that said, as a fifth-round pick, how much of a shot does he really have here with this Browns team in 2025?
Well, I think most what people don't understand about the NFL draft is it's always for your next year's team. It's never for the current team. Certainly, you'll get some production out of a draft pick during the current year, but really what you're building on is for the 26 team. He's not the 25 team. You know, could he go in and play? Perhaps. Would he be effective? Probably not fair to the kid. So I think ultimately every draft class is for the next year's team. You should be evaluating the 24 draft class for the Browns this year. How's that going to line up in terms of impacting their team and getting them over?
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture. From two U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians, follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
The top. That's really the fundamental question. As for the Shedeur Sanders media circus, I mean, look, that's created by the worldwide leader. No one loves to talk about one thing more than they do. And so that really, it's not the kid's fault that they do it all the time.
Michael Lombardi joining us on the show. So what do you think? Did you ever get a chance to really evaluate him, or have you just been?
No, I've been too busy watching high school quarterbacks. So I had no. I mean, this is probably the one draft since I've been out of the league that I really didn't pay any attention to, because my job is to find players for North Carolina, and I no longer have to do the media circuit and understand about that. So I'm pretty content just watching high school tape now.
One of those guys, you did bring in Mason Wilhelm. He's our friend's son out of St. Ed's. What are you expecting for that young man?
Well, I mean, I'm hoping he has a great senior year. You know, I think that's really important to keep developing. Look, offensive lineman, we're excited about him. He's tough. Our whole program is built on being tough, smart, and dependable, and I think that's what Mason clearly is. And that's what we're looking forward in terms of him playing and coming here to North Carolina with a great education and all that. So, look, the one thing all high school players have to do, you know, everybody commits, but the reality of it is, you know, they got to finish their high school, they got to finish strong, and the most important thing is handling their team.
You know, we are at an unprecedented time in youth sports and the cost to do all of this stuff. We talk about it all the time here. We've got some fathers in the room. They're paying a lot of money for this stuff. Our listeners are paying a lot of money. You have a chance now to go back and look at high school football players. How do you compare them to, say, 20 years ago, 30 years ago? Are they any better off with all this money being spent?
Well, I mean, the training's so much better. I mean, let's be clear. I mean, they got better training, weight lift. We actually know what we're doing. I mean, do you remember we used to not give water to players during practice? I mean, so I think we've come a long way in that area. But for the most part, I mean, look, the kids are bigger, stronger, tougher, all that, and that really helps.
Michael Lombardi joining us on the show. Listen, I do want to keep it the football. I'm going to keep it the football with you. For the head coach of North Carolina, Bill Belichick, what has this been like for him? Has this been like kind of a new lease on coaching for him? Has this been invigorating for him? Is this a step towards something else, like some people have speculated?
No. Well, I mean, there's been so much speculation. None of it's been accurate. But I think if someone called me the other day and said, is he as happy as he appears? And I said, absolutely. I mean, I think he really enjoys it. And look, he can run his program here at North Carolina. You don't have to worry about the analytical department coming in and telling you to throw the ball on first and 10. You don't have to worry about some owner telling you to draft this player. You don't have to worry about anything. You can run your program. And I think he's got complete reign of that. And that's something refreshing. I mean, you know, the NFL has become micromanaged by a lot of different people, and it's hard. You know, when I first started in the league in 84, Bill Walsh ran the 49ers. There wasn't a lot of people in his way. Today, there's a lot of people involved.
And yet, with all that said, so many of these coaches seem to want to run away kicking and screaming from the current college model because of NIL and transfer portal. But it seems like Bill Belichick is embracing, and you as well, you're embracing this.
We've lived it our whole lives. I mean, a player walking in my office wanting a raise, you think that's new to me? I mean, come on. I mean, a player wanting more money, you think that's new to me? Telling a player that he's not going to get more money, you think that's new to me? I mean, it's all the same. I mean, it's actually easy. Here's the difference between college and pro, the way I see it. If I don't draft a guy in the second round and I lose out on that player, you know, I'm done in the draft. I can't replace them. You know, we sat there in the first, in the second round in our last draft in Cleveland. Bill and I wanted to draft Curtis Martin, and we missed, and we did, we missed him. We, you know, he went before we thought we could get to him. He's a guy in the Hall of Fame. I couldn't replace him, right? And so, but in this thing here, I mean, if I lose a five-star kid down in Alabama, I can find another five-star kid in Georgia.
So, I mean, like, Bill's what, 73 years old, if I'm not mistaken? I think Nick Saban's like a year older than him. Is it out of the question Nick Saban could go back knowing the advantages that you know you have in North Carolina?
I don't know. I mean, Nick knows the college game better than I do. I mean, he's been in a lot longer than I have. I think that's up to Nick. I couldn't answer that.
Do you think, though, like, because everybody accuses him of going away because it's changed so much. And, I mean, he's said as much in so many ways. But, I mean, you make it out to be, it's like, hey, like, this is different now. It's actually advantageous to a guy who coached in the NFL before. Could he adapt to something like that? Would he want to adapt like that? You don't know?
In terms of Bill being in college, Bill's adapted. Bill loves it. I mean, look, it's a different program. I mean, you know, we do the same things. And, you know, you come to our practice is set up like a pro.
Well, and that was my next question. Is this iteration of college football, is this really just another form of professional football right now?
I think it is. I mean, obviously, I think you have to. I mean, you're paying the players. And so when you start paying players, you got to demand that they uphold to it. I mean, this is, you know, we talk to the players all the time about going from pro to amateur. And when you're a pro, you're expected to do it. When you're an amateur, you think you're going to do it. It's a way different. And so it goes both ways here.
The book, Football Done Right, Setting the Record Straight on Coaches, Players, and the History of the NFL. Michael, we thank you very much for the time.
Thanks, guys.
Michael Lombardi on the Fan Hotline, talking to us about all the stuff that's going on with the Cleveland Browns and obviously North Carolina.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture. From two U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians, follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.